It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here in the studio as usual. Adam is back at the mothership this week. And we will be here next week and the week after and the week after. And in case you're not paying attention to what day it is, that means December 26th and January 2nd, as well as the 19th. So if you want to look around for the weekend and find a live show or two, I'm pretty sure Howard and Angela will be live, and we will. So just keep it on 101.1 or 600, however you happen to be listening, or for that matter, WBOB.com on the internet. And it's all there. Gosh, it's getting close to Christmas. It's getting close to tax time. There's so many things going on, but I guess first off, I should welcome everybody. I don't want to forget that. All the regulars, thank you. We appreciate you being here all the time. And if you're new to the show, try to stick around for the whole hour. Hopefully we'll learn something. We will, as usual, have a trivia question after the first break. And then we'll get into whatever topics we want to cover, unless you want to talk about something else. And if so, just pick up the phone and call 904-222-8255 or 222-TALK, and we will immediately put you on and change the subject or explore it deeper. Anyway, obviously the biggest news of the week affects every single one of us positively. Elon Musk moved to Texas. Oh, wait, that's the second biggest thing. I'm sorry. Yeah. I do have an Elon Musk trivia question that Adam really likes it, so yeah, I'm assuming all of you will too. So stick around, you'll hear that. But the big news, obviously, from last night was that the Pfizer vaccine got its emergency authorization. So it's being shipped as we speak right now, and people are going to start getting vaccinated. And that's kind of taken on a whole different theme for us lately because we lost a good friend. And I didn't expect it. I didn't see it coming. And he certainly didn't either because he had just bought the deep sea fishing boat of his dreams. So he obviously was not planning to go anywhere. I don't know if he was compromised in any other way, but he spent a few days at Mayo Clinic in the hospital and they couldn't even save him. So he got a bad one. Or it hit something that it shouldn't have hit. So I miss him a lot and will. Anyway, on a less morbid subject, there will be less of that going on over the next few months as people start getting vaccinated, and it looks like there might be an end of this thing in sight. And, of course, it corresponded almost to the minute with the other breaking news that the Supreme Court punted again. Not even Trump's three appointees decided they could help save him. Now, if that's the kind of loyalty we live in the world, then I don't want that kind of friends, period. I'm not going to get political on you. I'm going to just say that I'm disappointed. But how does it impact the market? We're going to get into that. And the answer to that might surprise you. It might surprise you a lot. And I haven't talked to Adam about this, so I'm going to ask him his opinion, but I virtually guarantee you what it's going to be. Other than that, this week in the market,
stocks drifted a little bit lower. Some of what you talked about had a lot to do with that, but also the lack of a stimulus bill is, I think, what is holding up the markets right now.
For the dumbest of reasons.
Well, I don't really... To me, it's not really clear what the reasons are.
I'd tell you what the excuse is.
What's that?
The Democrats do not want to give small businesses any kind of waiver on liability and being sued, no immunity whatsoever. So any employee who happened to come down with it, which could have been at a disco party for all anybody knows, they just claim that their employer caused it and sue the people. And the Republicans want to give them immunity against that, and the Democrat, the only one that matters, is saying no way. Hmm. Can't protect small business. Haven't ever in my life protected small business. I'm not going to start now.
That's interesting.
Thank you, Ms. Pelosi.
Yeah, so I don't really see what the strategy is there, what they are trying to accomplish. I mean, so... that's the excuse, but the actual strategy seems like maybe wait until Joe Biden is president and then do it. But
and get your whole 3 million worth.
Well, but I still don't see how that will work, because unless they win Georgia, then they could do that. But if they win Georgia, they could just put a second bill out and do that anyway. So
exactly.
I just don't see what the strategy
is
here.
There's no upside to this.
No, and the real problem is there's still tons of people unemployed. COVID cases are rising, so more restrictions are going in place, and people really just need the help. There's a large portion of the population does not need help this time, but a large portion does, and those people really need it.
They need it day before yesterday.
Right. So I just don't understand the logic or lack thereof for this move. So we'll see what happens this week. Hopefully it's before they go on their 50th vacation of the year. They can figure this thing out.
And they've got so much on their plate. This whole the tax law that we've been talking about, Secure Act 2.0, as it's been commonly known, that for one thing would be such a boon to the economy, and we need it. And they can't get anything done.
No,
literally,
as usual. It's just, yeah. I mean, no surprises there. No. On a more positive note, as you mentioned, the Pfizer vaccine was approved first in the UK for use, and then the US followed the lead later in the week. And this is the first of probably many vaccines that will be approved in the US, and it will be distributed fairly quickly to frontline healthcare workers and the elderly. Here in Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis said that Florida, they'll receive about 180,000 doses of the vaccine in the initial shipment next week, which is crazy. Yeah. I guess they started producing this thing before they got approval, which
they did.
makes sense.
They were doing it concurrently. And, well, they were paid up front so they could.
Right.
That was part of the whole operation.
It is, he said that of those 180,000 doses, almost 100,000 will go to healthcare workers, and then the rest will be distributed to long-term care facilities in a variety of different ways. One interesting thing about COVID this year, or sort of about COVID, is that the flu has been almost non-existent. Flu season starts at week 40 in the year, so we've now been in it for 8 weeks. In the last 5 years, on average, about 9,000 cases of the flu would have been diagnosed by now. And last year, it was a really busy season. That number was closer to 18,000. This year, the number is about 1,000.
And you know why?
I think there's a combination of things.
People washing their hands more.
Yeah.
Social distance.
Staying home, wearing masks. Yep. All of those things happen to be very good at preventing the flu also.
Earlier in the year.
Yeah, which is it's good news. So it's just interesting to see how that goes. And in Florida, it's really true, because during the last 3 years, by this time, almost 2% of ER and urgent care clinic visits were diagnosed with the flu. This year, that number is about zero. There isn't any. Isn't that crazy?
Well, I wonder if there's any mislabeling going on, too, where they're blaming COVID.
No, these are positive tests. So.
Oh, okay. Fine. Well, like I said, it was predicted that the way that we live is much more conducive to staying healthy now in general, not just for COVID. And I guess that's exactly what happened. That if you're looking for the silver lining and things, as I always tend to do, let that be a good one. All right, I kind of took up a lot of extra time in this segment, so when we come back, we'll finish up the market wrap and then we'll get into the trivia and all the other stuff. So don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have the trivia question this week, as usual, sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. Well, we're going to – I had a faux question. It said, how dumb is Gavin Newsom? But that's not really the question.
Pretty dumb?
Oh, Steve, you would have won just like that.
Okay.
Pretty darn dumb. All right, the real question. We were talking about Elon Musk, who made it official. He is now a Texan, and Texas is delighted to have him, I'm sure. And I'll tell you why here. Or you tell me why. I'll ask you why. How much has Elon Musk's net worth increased per hour? Per hour. That is not a misprint. In 2020. The answer is a whole number of, ready for this? millions of dollars. How many million dollars an hour has Elon Musk's net worth increased in 2020? It's just a ludicrous question, except it's true.
Crazy.
Isn't it nuts? Something else. All right. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
How are you?
This is the first time I've ever called into a talk show.
Well, and good.
It was just something that you said that kind of struck me.
Okay.
Long-time Republican conservative, you just said something about the fact that none of the Supreme Court nominees that Trump put on the bench backed him up on his charge, and where's their loyalty?
Right.
And I just disagree. I just disagree wholeheartedly with that. I don't want them to be loyal. I want them to be loyal to the Constitution, not to the person who put them on the bench.
Well, I would agree with that 100%. To me, because the issue was so open and shut that it's constitutional, I phrased it that way only for that reason. I also am like you. I don't think anybody in a role of the ultimate decider should do so on the basis of loyalty, although I believe that four of them do. That's a different story.
The other side of the bench, I think, kind of does do that.
Yeah, and one steps back and forth, or used to, just to save face. But Roberts doesn't have to tiptoe over the line anymore, so he can just be the liberal that he is. That's it.
Yeah.
I agree with that as well, David. I don't think that loyalty should play into the equation when considering Supreme Court cases either. I think it was just maybe could have been worded a little bit better.
Yep, you're absolutely right. And does it make a difference to normal people on the street? You better believe it does, because the economics that affect all of us are going to be impacted by that non-decision, I fear.
Absolutely. I appreciate your point about the small businesses. I mean, I own a very small business, and I would definitely like to have some protection if somebody gets COVID. That was a really good point I thought you made.
Yeah, I think it's critical, and it's so typical of politicians to not want to do things that way. It just bothers me. I appreciate your call. Would you like to take a shot at the trivia question before you?
I just hopped in the car. What's the trivia question?
It's real easy. It's a whole number. How many millions of dollars has Elon Musk's net worth increased per hour in 2020?
Per hour?
Per hour.
Five.
Too low, but we appreciate it.
Wow.
It's amazing, isn't it?
He's had a very good year.
I could live on a single increase of $1 million an hour. I could do just fine.
Yeah.
Be a nice Christmas.
I'll just do a half.
You're not greedy at all. That's good. No,
split it with you. All right. Well, we appreciate it. Thank you very much. Enjoy
Thank
the
you.
Day. Good morning, Gary.
Hey, a couple of weeks ago, you guys were talking about, I think, Social Security.
Yeah.
Some form that you needed to fill out to
yes.
the correct amount
yes.
of what your payout would be, I guess, for Medicaid, I guess.
Medicare.
Yeah.
I am thinking about withdrawing some more money out of one of my accounts. Would that hurt me going forward? I'm going to retire next year.
If it trips you over a break point,
yep.
yes. So if you want to get the breakpoints, you can find them on the Medicare, or actually on the Social Security site. So if you figure what your income was last year and then what it's going to be this year relatively, and you add that amount to it, check it against the brackets. And if it does, then you will go up in what Medicare is going to cost you. But if it does on a one-time basis, this form will help you.
I just found out that is true, but also not for everything.
Right.
So there are certain forms You're of right. income that you cannot use that form.
You have to have it in conjunction with a life-changing event.
Right.
Like a retirement, a marriage, a divorce, something like that. If you just took money out of your retirement account and bumped your income up,
you're going to get hit, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yep. That's the truth.
So be careful.
Yeah, you were talking about a form that...
Yes, SA-44.
SA44.
And you can, if you Google that, it'll pop right up everywhere, but it's also on the Social Security website.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
All right, did you want to take a quick shot at the trivia?
I have no idea.
Right. Well,
probably crazy.
It's going to be an interesting number.
Yeah, it's
yeah, I'm driving too, and I don't want
okay, to. No problem at all. We appreciate your call, and if you have any trouble with that thing, let us know. If you get an answer that you're satisfied with, if you want to check it out further, you can always give us a call at the office to 685-1505.
I do appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Mike.
Oh, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I'm going to take a shot, and I have to confess, I think I read this because I was intrigued by the fact that Elon Musk left California.
Uh-huh.
I'm kind of glad he did because of the deplorable leadership out there, in my opinion. And so as I was reading about where he went in Texas, I think around the Austin area, it did come up, and I believe that the answer is $16 million
you
per hour.
You are correct. I don't care how anybody knows anything. The question is, do they know it? And if you – we had one last week. Guy just pulled a number out of the universe, and he was dead on. So you just never know. But I like the way our listeners think. I like the things they know, and I like the fact that you're curious enough to go find something like that. Have you ever just sat down and thought – what that would mean? $16 million an hour. And we're 50 weeks into the year. My ability to do math in my head stops way many zeros below that. Adam's got a calculator in his hand.
Yeah, that's $384 million a day.
I'm just curious. I wonder how that compares to what Jeff Bezos made per hour in 2020.
Well, I think he started a lot wealthier. So it might be that he's a little less, but I tell you, I would settle for the increase in Bezos' wealth, too. I'm not greedy.
And he only has half, or at one point had half of what he originally had.
Yeah, when he got divorced this year, he had to give his wife something like $30-odd billion, and it dropped him all the way down from the richest man in the world to the richest man in the world. Afterward.
It's amazing. If I could just inject for 60 seconds.
Sure.
I was reading Forbes the other day, and there's a person by the name of Travis Scott. He's a young black man who's married to one of the Kardashians.
Yep.
And he's incorporating into ads. He's been hired at multi-millions of dollars to create ads. He's a singer. He's a rap singer. Okay. And in video games, he does live concerts. It's like a new phenomena with advertisement to incorporate celebrities that are singers or rappers. And the money that's out there for people that sign these deals, he signed one with McDonald's for multi-millions of dollars. And my point is, all power to them. If they have the talent and companies want to hire them and pay this kind of money, God bless America.
Hey.
I'm just contrasting that with the fact that there are so many people, like in my home state in New York and California, that these, in my opinion, deplorable leadership is just closing businesses left and right, and people are struggling. And that's just my opinion for today.
I tell you, I got a little response to all that. Were you familiar with Walter Williams? We lost him a week ago.
Yes.
Here's a quote from him. Capitalism is relatively new in human history. Prior to capitalism, the way people amassed great wealth was by looting, plundering, and enslaving their fellow man. Capitalism made it possible to become wealthy by serving your fellow man.
Very well put.
That's why I love the man. Yep, I thought so.
Very well put.
And
thank
your
you.
Point is exactly the same. We appreciate it. I'll put you on hold, and we'll have Alan get the prize out to you.
Thanks. Have a great weekend and have a great holiday.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Same to you.
All right. Music's going already.
Yeah, that was fast.
We seem to be blowing through time real fast here, which is absolutely fine. When we do get back, please don't take that, anybody out there, don't take that as a don't call us. Please call us. We love that. It makes us feel better and we don't have to work so hard. How's that? Anyway, when we come back, we're going to get back into the market wrap and pick up a few little things that we have left dangling. And then I've got some very intriguing things that follow that. So we will take a break, pay some bills, and collect our thoughts. And we'll be getting back to you with some what I think are very, very interesting numbers. All right. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have sort of satisfied a few things, but what we haven't done, we haven't wrapped up the market wrap. Even though it was a week where there really wasn't much excitement in the market.
No.
I think, not
a ton.
No, the thing I like most about this week is it was boring.
Yeah, that this time of year should be a little bit boring.
I agree. And part of the reason that I like it this way is because of what's happened year to date. So you can kind of sum that up.
Yeah, it's been a really good year. This week wasn't great. The S&P was down 1%, the NASDAQ was down 0.7%, and then the Dow was down 0.6%. So nothing bad. Within the 1%, I always say it's a flat week.
Yep.
And so it just kind of drifted lower. The really interesting, there was almost a trend that kind of formed in the later part of the week where everything would drift lower during the day, and there were some not huge losses, but some decent losses. And then towards the end of the day, buyers would come in and swoop up some what they were looking at as bargains, I assume. And so it seemed like there was a really equal amount of buyers and sellers, and that's what usually happens when you get a flat week like that. So
I thought the only real significant number this week was that the Dow held above 30,000.
Yeah, that is. I mean, it's not. It's only psychologically significant, but it's not. It's pretty meaningless in reality, especially on the Dow, which is a ridiculous index anyway.
But there was one day this week it closed at 29,999 and a few cents.
Oh, I didn't notice that. That's funny. And then the year-to-date numbers do look really good. The Dow is up just a paltry 5.3%.
Yeah.
The S&P is up a really nice 13.4%, but the NASDAQ is up 38% this year, which is crazy.
And how far did it fall in the COVID months?
I don't think I have that number, but it was substantial.
Yeah, it was at least 30%, I believe.
As far as economic data, there wasn't a lot, and there really hasn't been a lot in December yet. And what we've seen has been a little bit weak compared to the recent trends, but nothing bad, and there's still a lot more to be released this month, and so there's plenty of time for that to turn around and follow. The trend of the last few months has been much of the economic data has beat its expectations. One that did beat this month was the CPI. It was expected an increase of 0.1%. It came in at 0.2%. It's now up 1.2% from a year ago, and in fact, the last 6 months have been the fastest the CPI has risen in the last decade. So we are seeing some inflation at this point.
And if you really want to see it, just go to the grocery store.
No doubt. And then the PPI data was also released. It matched expectations up 0.1%, and it's up 0.8% from a year ago. So we're seeing it on the manufacturing side as well.
Yeah, and if they ever start admitting it, we'll have to see what goes from there, but that's why I still think it's time to start looking and nibbling at the tips, inflation protected bonds. But that is a point of difference between the two of us. I think Adam doesn't think it's ready yet. I do.
Well, I just think that they're expensive.
I'm wondering with so few alternatives in the fixed income market, if that isn't going to hold for a while.
Actually, one thing that did reverse this week was TLT.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was up 2.3%. As I mentioned last week, it had been dropping, and it had dropped quite a ways off its high. So that was a reversal of that trend. The bond market in general did pretty well this week. It was up, AGG was up 0.4%. That's the total bond index ETF. Mm-hmm. And if you look at TLT, it's been really volatile this year. Its volatility is at 13.1%. For comparison, the total bond market is at 3.5%, and SPY is at 18.6%. So it's actually closer to the S&P 500 index than it is to the bond index.
And if you look at the yield curve, it looked like a chaise lounge sitting around a swimming pool for a while, and now it's like running into a cliff out there.
Yep, which, I mean, I'm not going to complain about that.
Absolutely not.
The whole thing needs to shift up, though. I still can't find any yield. And in fact, I have a, if we get to it, I have a listener question that was emailed to me that I didn't get to last week that about that very topic.
Can you do it in under 5 minutes?
Yeah, definitely.
Go ahead.
So it's probably been our most frequent question this year that's been asked, and it is, where can I find yield? And the answer is, you can't. Not with any safety, anyway.
That's right.
It's not truly the answer, but it seems like it. There's a real lack of options out there. Traditionally, you would go to CDs. CDs are not paying anything. So then you look at bonds as you go up the risk scale, strong AAA-rated corporate bonds, and those aren't paying anything, less than 1%. And so your options and treasuries, again, paying nothing. So you just, there's nowhere to turn that is considered a safe asset that's providing any yield. So you have to look at things that are not as safe to get up above 1%, which is not ideal, which is also why TLT is probably rising right now, because it's one of the only things that's paying above 1%. The places that we've been going are mutual funds, which are that hold bonds and other fixed income products, because there's a number of reasons. They can use debt, and they can have access to debt instruments that we as the public don't generally use. They can use options. They can use different leverage
mortgages.
They just have a variety of tools to generate yield that we as average investors do not have. So that's one place. Another one is structured notes. That's something I've been looking a lot into. I haven't really pulled the trigger on them yet because they're quite confusing, but they can provide you with yields above 5%, even 7-8%, with some risk, but not as much as you might think. So that's an area that I've been looking at for next year, just because I don't expect yields to rise anytime soon. So, and then the other one is income funds. These are non-traditional bond funds. They do hold some bonds, but they also do a variety of other things, and those can yield pretty good, like around the 4-5%, which you just won't find in any sort of fixed income product right now. So, those are the three areas that we've been looking at, and it's not ideal because it's more risk than we would typically like to take on that side of the portfolio, but you really just don't have any other options right now.
No. One of the things I've always been interested in is REITs, real estate investment trusts.
Way too much risk if you had the one
right now. What's it called? NYC, I think, is a symbol. It's New York real estate.
Yeah.
Look what's moving out of New York. Speaking of which.
Well, that's funny. I actually printed out an article about that and one about San Francisco. The New York one is titled, "It's Not Your Imagination. Manhattan rents have really fallen a lot." And
they've gone from 5th to 11th on the pricing scale around the country.
Year-over-year rents for a studio in Manhattan are down a record 21.6%. Mm-hmm. And then in San Francisco, the title of that article was, "San Francisco Rents Plunge 35% as Exodus Continues."
Hmm.
Yeah. So
I'd make a suggestion to New York, but they wouldn't listen to me. They never do. Eliminate rent control.
That would help, mm-hmm. No doubt about it.
Let the market be the market.
And with rents falling this fast, that rent control becomes a lot less valuable than it used to be, unless you've been in there forever and have a ridiculously low rent.
That might actually stir some sales and some activity and that kind of thing, which would eventually bring some revenue. But there are other ones. I like the ones that are in the medical field, for instance. And there's a category that I used to do business in, but I no longer do. It's called the non-traded REIT, non-public REITs. I don't know how many people are familiar with them. You hear them advertised a lot. We never lost any money for our investors, and you get a humongous yield on it. And man, they make it sound so good. And I've got a few comments about that for after the break. I don't have time to really get into it. But before I became truly fee-only, I used to have licenses so I could charge commissions when there was something needed to do a portfolio, and we didn't have it in the non-commission arena. So I used to deal in some of these non-publicly traded REITs. Well, I got out, and I don't know exactly why. I just kind of got uncomfortable when we decided to go fee-only. It didn't fit, so we sold them out. And what happened after that is legendary, and I will tell you about it in a few seconds. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
Now, we were talking about non-traded or non-public REITs. There are a lot of publicly traded REITs. We use some of them. Some of them I'd be afraid of. But the thing that's kind of interesting about REITs to me, one of the things, is the structure of the finances means that they don't pay federal income taxes, assuming that they pay out to their shareholders 90% of their income. So you're kind of looking at a situation where it isn't necessarily going to hurt these things if corporate tax rates go up because they don't pay corporate taxes. So I've been thinking more and more about this, that maybe it's not something I should worry about. But then again, there's the real estate values. The one thing you know about real estate values is they're not stable. They will go up. A lot of people think they go up forever. Those people are, of course, wrong. They also go down. So back in the early 2000s, I think we went fee only in 2006. Yet back in the earlier days, there was one that came up that I remember very well. It's called the Inland Western REIT. Before I got into this, I was dealing in steel products, and Inland Steel was one of our big suppliers. And when Inland Western decided to start their REIT, I looked at it. I think we might have even been in and out of it a couple of times. But it started at $10 a share in 2003. It raised $4.9 billion to invest in commercial real estate, and then it went public in 2012, which is, I think, a good thing. That was always the intention of these private REITs, to go public so it had a share price. Well, funny thing happened on the way to the share price, and it eventually dropped from its $10 a share opening purchase price to $3.40 a share. Now, any advisors who were recommending these things as safe and sound to their clients back in 2003, kind of got it put to them, $3.40. That's ridiculous. Whenever people tell you that anything to do with real estate will only go up and will never lose a penny, be very, very skeptical. It happens all the time. Another one we used to deal with, it has a three-letter name, and it was out of Orlando. It also sold at $10 a share. And it then dropped by 2012 to $7.31. In 2013, it dropped again to $6.85. And by the end of 2015, it was $5.20. I just want to issue a caution to anybody who is looking into these things. Be very, very careful. If the people who sell these things were regulated by the people who regulate us, I promise you that the promises they make would be a whole bunch different.
Yeah, the real estate market in general right now is really interesting. We were just talking at the break with Angela and Howard about how the residential market, and especially in Jacksonville, is on fire. But then I just read two articles about rents dropping in New York and San Francisco. So it's very dependent on location. But Jacksonville has seen huge increases recently in property prices and in rent prices. So at the same time, though, if you flip over to the commercial side right now, there is a lot more for lease signs than you once saw because businesses are either folding or going online. And then if you jump up to the large commercial property group, I was just looking at the Simon Property Group's stock price, and it is down for the fifth year in a row because people are moving out of malls and going to other venues such as online. And so there's just all sorts of different dynamics that are happening in the real estate market right now. Some are good, some are bad, but it's just a lot of change, especially the pandemic really accelerated some of that change. So if you are considering investing in any kind of real estate, you really need to do your homework and consult with a professional.
Yeah, a lot of the malls around the country are being repurposed right now.
They are.
There is a spectacular one in, I think it's Lake Worth, Florida, down by Orlando.
Well, Lake Worth is down in southeast Florida. So
the planned community right outside of Orlando?
I'm not sure.
It's very famous, but I'm losing it right now. But they took a big old mall and gutted the whole thing and made it into kind of a multi-purpose thing. It's housing and shopping and this and that. It is absolutely stunning. Seen a couple of TV shows on it.
Yeah, there's some are converted into mega churches. Uh-huh. And I wonder,
seems to be a good business these days.
Yeah, well, except that they can't have people in them. But there's a lot of things popping up a year from now. But yeah, the Regency here is one that's often talked about as to what to do next, and it's fallen on really hard times. A lot of tenants have moved out, and it's definitely ripe for redevelopment. I wonder what will happen there.
That is a very fine question.
Yep, it's right in the middle of town. Great location. Yep. Just needs the right plan to come along.
A lot of things now that are suffering from bad timing with this thing. But with the vaccine starting to roll out now, I would hope by this time next year, it's just an unpleasant memory for most of us.
Man, that would be great.
Wouldn't it, though? It will. Let's see. There's a new website that I first saw advertised this morning. It's called Final Bull Market 60, appealing to those of us who are of a certain age, apparently. Get in on this last bull market of your lifetime, it says.
Well, that's
morbid. Are anybody on edge yet besides Adam? So, of course, I went there because it's what I do. And it is a site that says all you have to do to participate is buy this one stock. Anytime somebody says, buy one stock, run, don't walk. But worse yet, if the name under that recommendation is Stansberry, run faster. And nothing personal. He's probably a very nice man. But don't rely on him for your investment advice if you're smart. They'll tell you about the couple times he's nailed it. They won't tell you about anything else. That's for sure. All right. A look at Social Security. How many of you are familiar with AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, I believe it is? No, I'm sorry. It's the Association of Mature Americans. That's it. They are not like those other older people's organizations who tend to be, shall we say,
skew one direction on the political scale.
Yeah. This is an openly conservative group of older Americans, and I have been a member for quite some time. And I've been kind of interested, like most people have, in the outlook for Social Security. So I read the other day that AMAC had come up with a proposal and that it wouldn't involve tax increases. I, of course, immediately caught my attention because how do you fix Social Security? Ask 1,000 people, you get 999.5 answers. Raise taxes. You know, soak the rich. Whatever. Well, I was, of course, curious. How do they think we should do this? The problem is actually, according to some people, starting next year, Social Security is essentially a Ponzi scheme. It means new people coming in have to be in excess of the people that are cashing out. And, of course, people cashing out now are becoming very numerous because about 10,000 people a day are turning 65, 66, 67. The baby boomers are here, and they're here to stay for quite some time yet. Well, coupled with that is a smaller generation who are our children, and coupled with that is all the layoffs from COVID. And I have to interrupt because it sounds like Captain Dave might be on the other end.
Hey, Doc.
Hey, Captain, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I just called to tell you I've been doing something you probably don't approve of.
You sound like one of my kids.
I've been buying and selling SLV on 2% swings.
Okay.
I don't have any problem with that.
No. You know, if you're going to buy something, buy and sell and buy and sell repeatedly, pick something volatile. You did.
Yeah. SLV drops 4%, goes up 5%, yeah. drops 2%. So I put stop loss on the downside. And when I make my 2%, I get out.
Put it on cruise control for a while, huh? No, I have no problem with that. You have to be in a position where you have a lot of time on your hands.
And that's, oh, my God, that's all I got.
Yeah. See, there you go. And people who didn't used to have that much time on their hands do now because we're all kind of locked in. So I hope it works out for you for a good long time.
No, so far. No, I'm up pretty good right now, you know.
By the way, that's an ETF that tracks the price of silver, which is a very volatile thing. So now I think long run.
See you later, guys. Have a good weekend.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I do think silver, long run, because of its industrial usages and so on, is a very, very hot item. But know if you're going to get into this stuff, it is super volatile.
Yes, it is.
I will finish up the look at Social Security next week. And we'll see you then at the same time. This is the Bandley Financial Hour.